Welcome to PJ Pub Club, a brand new podcast where we discuss recent research articles and what it means for patients and providers. Before we begin, it's important to note that this podcast is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Any decisions related to medical care should be made in consultation with a qualified healthcare provider.
Hello! Welcome to the second episode of the PJ Pub Club. We hold roundtable discussions about recent articles published about pediatric dermatology and skin health in kids. We hope that these sessions will be useful for families and patients as well as healthcare professionals. So let's dive in. I am Dolan Jung, a fourth-year medical student at the Medical College of Wisconsin. I am joined by three wonderful pediatric dermatologists in various stages of their careers. So Dr. Christina Buhl, who is an associate professor of pediatrics and dermatology at the University of Minnesota, is also the vice chair of the Skin Tumors and Reactions to Cancer Therapies focus group at PJRA. In addition, she's a provider in the Comprehensive Epidermolysis Bullosa Clinic at the University of Minnesota. We also have Dr. Diana Roisch, who is now on faculty at the UMass Chan Medical School after having completed her pediatric dermatology fellowship at Boston Children's Hospital last year. It is also very exciting to have her here for this episode because she is an epidermolysis bullosa specialist as well. And that's our topic for today, if you couldn't tell. Finally, we have Dr. Christina Foshi, a first-year dermatology resident at the Medical College of Wisconsin, who had completed her preliminary residency program in pediatrics at MCW. So thank you all for joining us today in our discussion of assessing pain catastrophizing and functional disability in pediatric epidermolysis bullosa patients, which is a cross-sectional multi-site study led by Dr. Leslie Costello Socio at the National Institutes of Health. In summary, the study used the Pain Catastrophizing Scale, PCS, and the Functional Disability Inventory, FDI, to guide the interplay of psychosocial and behavioral intervention for management of chronic pain in patients with EB. These are big words to say. Is there some way we can help patients with epidermolysis bullosa, or EB, describe their pain and figure out how EB affects their ability to do things? And so pain catastrophizing, in my understanding, is constant worrying that can really mess with someone's ability to be present in their life. They feel like they can't stop worrying about the negative consequences of the pain and feel like they have limited control over their symptoms or that they cannot cope with the pain. It feels important that this study included both patients' and parents' experiences. And maybe, as we would expect, the child PCS, pain catastrophizing scale, went up with EB skin involvement, meaning the more skin that was affected, the worse that patients felt about their pain. And in parallel, the parent FDI and PCS increased with disease severity and percentage of skin involved. So in your practice, would you say that parents and their children align with the disease experience as seen in this study?
I think this is something that we don't do a good job asking about in our clinic, to be honest. And so this study was really helpful for us to be able to see that interestingly, at least for epidermolysis bullosa, parents and their children seem to be experiencing the disease to a similar level. I do wonder in this particular condition if that is because family members are so heavily involved in helping with dressing changes. So our patients with epidermolysis bullosa oftentimes require daily or other frequent changes of bandages covering wide surfaces of their body. And that can be extremely painful for these children. And the parent is right there, you know, with their child every day doing those dressing changes. And so I do think that brings some insight to family members about the pain that their child's experiencing.
Dr. Roisch, do you have any thoughts on this point?
I learned so much from my patients and from the parents of my patients with EB, epidermolysis bullosa, because they are the ones living with the disease day in, day out, or caring for their children with the disease day in, day out. So I wasn't too surprised that they were in line. I found that parents of kids with EB are just the most amazing advocates and caretakers for their kids. So it didn't surprise me that they were spot on in knowing what their kids needed and were suffering from.
I think sort of relating to this article, I'm curious from your experience, what are the most common concerns that parents bring up about their children who are dealing with EB versus what are the concerns that the patients themselves most commonly bring up with you?
I do think that epidermolysis bullosa patients themselves really struggle with the amount of disease that's affected by their skin, both in the appearance of how it looks might be very, mentally burdensome for these patients. And also from a parent perspective, I think it is very challenging to do the wound care in order to prevent things such as infection, which might be a very common concern that parents might bring their children in for. These patients sometimes require multiple antibiotics, in addition to really managing the pain that are important aspects of the clinic.
I think that's a hard question to answer. Just as with any disease or skin condition, every family has different concerns and questions at different points of their lives. And so one thing I did really like about this paper was how they tracked the scores by age and made an effort to look at the pain scores and the disability scores at different ages in life.
I thought that it was expected that the scores were higher for patients who had more widespread involvement or more severe forms of EB, but it wasn't universal across the board. So the patients that had a moderate amount of body surface area involvement were equally affected on their scores compared to patients with even wider surface area. So I think that there is a critical burden of disease that seems to just really impact quality of life and pain, measurements or the catastrophizing.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think to your point, Dr. Poole and Dr. Roysh, it's just every family and every patient is different. So what they're concerned about at any particular time depends on so many factors. That's okay. I think maybe I will rephrase it and we'll touch on that point. I think that was really interesting about teenagers or just like the burden of having to do dressing changes and sort of when that responsibility starts to shift from solely on from the caretaker side to also the patient themselves having to participate in wound care and dressing changes, sort of what do you see are the most difficult components of that transition?
I think there's difficulty that comes with being your own provider, but there's also some independence and autonomy that can be really great too. Again, it's just so hard to answer this question because there's not a one-size-fits-all. Every single EB patient and EB family is different, and they're all amazing and have their own strengths.
I would say sometimes I do find that it is really hard for our teens with EB to sort of take over their own medical care. They often have been used to a parent helping them manage all of their doctor's appointments and dressing changes for so long. But there comes a point when we really want people to start to become autonomous in their ability to help take care of themselves so that they can transition not only to adult providers, but just have more independence in the world. And I do think that our teens with EB struggle with that. We've had some great, even PEDRA studies looking at that ability for our children with EB to transition their care to the adult care model. And we know that we need to do a better job as both pediatric and adult providers in helping with that transition.
And I also think something that can help with that transition is really as a provider, potentially providing resources for teenagers to connect with each other that might have similar conditions so that they could really connect with somebody their own age and really talk to them about their condition. Maybe they share their own experiences and, have an understanding. They both would have an understanding of what they are going through. And sometimes I find that teenagers really listen to other teenagers more than parents and potentially medical providers. So I think that is another opportunity as you're trying to transition the care from the parent taking care of the patient to the patient really independently doing their own dressing changes that providers can can discuss.
I thought another great point was brought up in the discussion section of this paper, talking about underutilization of mental health services for both parents and children living with epidermolysis bullosa. And just having another person to talk to, you know, like Dr. Fauci was saying, who can empathize, provide coping resources, things that just give that person a little bit more of a feeling of control, can be helpful. And I would suspect would decrease these scores by just giving them a feeling that there is something that they personally can do to help themselves feel better.
Yeah, EV is definitely a disease that affects the whole body, not just the skin. So it's important for patients with moderate to severe EV to see a whole bunch of different providers, to check on their eyes, to check on their heart, to check on their lungs, and to check on your mental health is also just so important.
I see. As someone that's in the very beginning stages of my training, that was very informative to know that it's a disease that affects much more than just the skin, and to watch out for other organ systems or other things that might be involved, and keeping up to date on that probably at each visit with the patient. I'm curious, you know, since it was brought up by Christina Fauci, are there established networks or groups of patients or families who have EB to connect with each other?
The AAD has a wonderful summer program for patients with numerous skin diseases, and one of them being epidermolysis bullosa, that patients and children can attend. And it's essentially an opportunity for them to have fun in the summertime and be able to connect with others from potentially other regions of the country even, and really feel that they're amongst a community that really understands and empathizes with what they're going through. And so I think that is a great resource. I do believe that in the experience that I've seen, there are local support groups that are created within communities of parents with epidermolysis bullosa discussing the care that they provide for their children, and maybe potentially sharing different ideas for that. So that's something else that you can talk about during visits with EB.
Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, Deborah of America. They're an amazing national organization that I think every EB family should know about and connect with if they haven't already.
They are great. They do have member support groups as well. They have meetup sessions. If you are a family with EB, they have great welcome kits, can send supplies to you. They do a lot of advocacy work and have amazing resources about clothing, dressing changes, shoes, you name it, all of the things that are practical from a day-to-day perspective for families living with EB.
That's really incredible. I can only imagine that it can, you know, especially when you're new to taking care of someone with EB, can be very overwhelming, and being able to have that support or even having those startup supplies would be very helpful. I'm curious, you know, in this study for, say, Dr. Fauci now in residency, are there any points of this study that is practice-changing for you or is thought-provoking for you as you go forward in your training?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that there was a point in the discussion that talked about the functional disability index and relating that to pain. And what it stated was that the parent FDI scores were higher for those children that received pain medications, perhaps indicating that there is increased disease severity not captured elsewhere. And I thought that was an interesting thing to think about, because for me, early on in training, when I see these patients with these lesions, the first thing that is going through my mind is that they can't, you know, they're limited in their abilities because of pain, when really there could be other things that are going on that providers should explore, and I should start to explore too. So I thought that was a really interesting concept the paper discussed.
And for you, Dr. Bull and Dr. Roisch, are there any points in this study that are either practice changing or maybe affirming for you?
I think that for me, this just put a name to something that I was seeing but wasn't quite sure what to call it. And so in thinking about the pain, it catastrophizing. I do think that it's something that we see commonly in our patients with EB, particularly as they get older and are thinking more about the EB. And I do think it's something that feeds on itself. So for instance, the more you're thinking about the pain, the worse the pain can become. And so again, trying to find ways to bring that person with EB out into the community so they can connect with others, just talk about what they're feeling and don't feel so isolated and alone, working on things like transition and autonomy, all of the things to give them some control to try to help break this cycle seems important.
It's not a secret that a lot of our EB patients are in pain and have their functional lives affected by their EB, but it was impactful to see the numbers of how severely and quantitatively that's happening. At our clinic, our hematology doctors actually are our pain specialists for our EB patients, and they are very interested in incorporating different holistic approaches to pain management, like using virtual reality and dressing changes, which I know some other folks from the PEDRA and EB CRC community have published on in the past. So reading this article really just inspired me to continue working collaboratively to think about creative ways that we can help our patients with pain. One other thing I think that seeing in numbers the amount of pain and functional disability, which we know our patients are having, but seeing them in numbers just really reaffirmed my desire to continue taking care of patients with EB and also looking for treatments. We're at a really interesting time right now where there are new therapies coming out for EB for the first time in a really long time. So I'm excited and I'm hopeful that maybe if we have a paper like this in 10 or 20 years from now, these numbers will be a lot different.
I think that the other thing the paper really brought to attention for myself is to remember to counsel about mental health resources and bring that up. I think that we often, especially with how quickly dermatology appointments can go, may miss that component and may really talk about when parents spend time discussing the skin and not potentially putting it all together and realizing the fact that they might leave and, you know, go day in and day out experiencing this disease and might support in that aspect. So I thought that this paper did a great job at the end of the discussion bringing that up.
Thank you all so much for the insight you bring to the treatment of patients with EB, but also the support that might be available for families who have kids with EB. And I think, Dr. Royce, you had brought up that DEBRA America, DEBRA, is a really useful network and community that can provide a lot of support for people that are dealing with and working with EB. And I just want to thank you all so much for your time and joining this discussion today. I think we had talked about how pediatric dermatologists are not that common across the country, and having an EB specialist is even more rare. So thank you very much for the important work that you do for these patients. And I have thoroughly enjoyed our discussion today. I've learned so much as a student. And so looking forward to learning more from you all in our next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to our new PEDRA Pub Club podcast. Thank you so much to Donglin Zhang for hosting this program. Thank you so much to our guest panelists, Dr. Diana Roche, Dr. Christina Buhl, and Dr. Christina Foshi. If you have an article you would like us to discuss, or if you would like to join the panel for PEDRA Pub Club, send us an email at info@pedraresearch.org. Make sure you're following us on all of our social media channels at PEDRA Research. And make sure that you have subscribed to the PEDRA Pearls podcast channel so you never miss an episode. Thanks so much for listening.